bam! How about that? God does his work his way for his glory, and he gets to use guys and ladies like us beyond, you know, what you think he can use you for. But when you're open and it's a family thing, you don't hold back for family. You just say, Father, love us. And in response, we get to do great things. Hey, where's Greg Munoz? Where's Paco? Pastor of Community Outreach, get up here. Now, Paco, some people go, no, it's Poco. Pastor of Community Outreach. But come on up here. Let's get you that other mic. Where's that wireless? Right on the stand by the microphone. You're, oh, warmer. There you go. So let's get him plugged up here. What we're going to be doing today, and I'm going to give you a heads up on the service. We're going to end the service with the Lord's table. That ending of the Lord's table isn't just for the mere fact that it's the first Sunday of the month. It's the complete reason why we get up every day and we say, yes, Lord. And so when we talk about going to Traver, doing ministry outward, we're doing that because at the Lord's table, you have to recognize that the Father sent his Son on earth physically, actually really there where people could see him, touch him, try to kill him, put him on the cross, all those things, so that when his sacrifice was made, it would be efficacious, it would be beneficial to all those who would believe. See, the Father's will lived out, and that's what the bread is signifying, that Christ came on earth physically, actually, and that the wine signifies the sacrifice of blood, the only sacrifice for which we have the remission of sins in Jesus Christ alone. But you see, in his blood, there's life, not just death. I like that song, you can't keep a good man down. Well, he wasn't just good, he's God. And see, with that, at the end of the service, we're going to be talking about taking communion with application. That's why we're going to Traver. That's why we'll go to New London. That's why we'll go to Fowler, with Layton. Every little place on the map that nobody else wants to go to, we'll go there. Why? Because Christ has called us to it. And at the Lord's table, what we're saying is, not our will be done, but thine. And we want to be in the image of Christ together. So everything we're going to be talking about today, you are so cute. She, not you, your daughter, man. You're so cute. She's just all like, Joey, Dad, look. So we're going to let the kids out right now. Kids, stand up and go to children's church. Adults, say hi to everybody. Welcome them to this morning. That's Lance. He loves to be petted on top of his head. So go ahead and stand up, get your feet moving, because today we're going to be talking about real ministry stuff together. Disengage. Quit being friendly. Go ahead, be friendly.
Hey, get control.
If you see a pregnant woman, rub her tummy, it's good luck. I'm not pregnant, so don't do me. I'll get mad. In hiring Greg Munoz as our pastor of outreach, community outreach, world evangelism, visitation guy.
Go ahead, keep adding.
The guy with mercy, the pastor with mercy, because between Dave and I, on a scale of 1 to 10, we rate together 3. Greg's a 7. So between this, you have one merciful pastor. So a lot of his job is out there. And for a lot of people, when you do a weird thing like, okay, we're going to hire an administrative pastor that's going to help lead and teach, and then we're going to go out, and what's the next thing? Or we're going to go get a youth pastor. We didn't do that. We went out and got an outreach pastor. Because guess where we want to go get youth? Out there. And we want their parents. Because the kids in here, they're going to grow up orchard style, which means we're training them to be adults, not children. And so that's why we work with Young Life, because they're an outreach group. So our kids on Wednesday nights go to Young Life. Now, we haven't got this thing down yet. We're working at it. You know, once Talia is gone and off to be a missionary in Bulgaria or wherever she ends up going, and our next group of kids move into high school, they're going to be trained to be outreach agents. That's what we're doing. Maybe that's to their parents, their family, kids at school. But we have an opportunity in Kingsburg to do something that most churches haven't. We're just recognizing what's already there. We're not that smart. We're just recognizing what God's already doing. When you invest in a Traver, you're investing into Kingsburg High School. Because all those kids come to our high school. And they're not a burden to us. They should be a joy to us. We should see them as people we can build into. With the same amount of grace and love shown to us in this church and in this community as believers. And so that's part of why we're going out there. Now, what's part of why we hired him? For one thing, he looks more like a pastor than the rest of us. He and his wife looked like the real deal. And you could put a white collar on there, and then we could have a multi-congregational site. Don't stop. What are you doing? Stop it. Oh, look at you. You're making me scared.
You
don't
asked
do this.
For it.
Woo, look at that.
Hey, guys. I just needed to let you know that...
That's what he wears when he does weddings.
That it's cheaper, saves me a lot of money. And the reason I put this on is, first of all, I found this at Caps. Is this
Woo!
Cool or what?
Turn around, let me see.
Now, if you will please read together in unison on the count of three, please read what it says. 1, 2, 3.
Everyone can serve.
Isn't that cool? The reason I have this on is because I will be asking, and there are other tables out there, for people to serve in different areas. And especially on Easter Sunday, it is a day to serve. And so I thought of this as I put it on this morning. Kathy, when she saw me put it on, she goes, "You're not going to wear that, are you?" Yeah, it's for the directory. I said, "Look at this. Isn't this cool?" And I turn around and she read it and she goes, "Oh, okay, now I get it." But you know what?
You're still not going to wear that, are you?
As you see the slideshow that we're going to show you, pictures of Traver. Fred and I went down one day and we took some pictures. Another day I went down, I saw kids playing basketball and other kids just kicking the ball around. I took some more pictures. So you're going to see a little slideshow, just some pictures. It's going to start out with the entrance as you're going into Traver, and you're going to look at things. You're going to see also some photos of teacups. All right, so just as you look at it, and I did throw in some pictures of people helping out during Christmas time. Some of our folks down there serving and ministering, and you'll see a little bit of that. But you know what? As you look at this slideshow, would you, and even today as you hear Pastor CJ share from his heart and from the Word, as you're sitting there, would you ask yourself, how can I serve? How can I be a servant on that day? Just do that. I've got some sheets in the back. You'll come up to me. I only have a few lines for each place. So the first ones that come up to me and say, I want to serve there, then write your name down, and you will serve there. So if you guys will please get the lights, and we'll go ahead and start the slideshow. Listen to it, and then CJ is going to come back up. And then a little bit later, we have Steve Ramirez is going to share, and Jake as well.
You know, it's fun being in Traver when you know you're not just going there to throw hot dogs at kids. You're not going to leave until Christ sticks his flag in the ground there. We're not the only church in town in Traver. There's the Mennonite Brethren Church. Pastor Juan Pacheco's there. There's the Roman Catholic Church in town. There's a Church of God. And for us as a church, you know, we would first rather work with a local evangelical church to see discipleship happen. That's our number one thing, is people being transformed. And if all we were to do is go have an egg hunt and do all those things, and we leave without a church testimony, without a place to grow these people up and empower them and to send them out as missionaries. Because frankly, if they're going to get kind of like what we do here, we have a brand here at the Orchard, and that is, when we go to other orchards, we're going to go in and we're going to stick our root into their base. And our root is transforming lives, planting churches, and sending the best fruit out around the world. We're not just going to Traver because, oh, poor Traver, they need us. Baloney. Traver needs to reach the world. They need to have a church there that disciples them. They need to have a pastor and elders who think beyond the limits of their town towards New London. And then who knows else, who else they're going to reach. But I know we're going to put that DNA into them, because that's what we're about doing. That's why we use the whole metaphor of harvesting and farming, because we know about bringing new life to old groves, don't we, and old orchards. What does it take? Work. It takes vision. It takes a market. We have a market. The church isn't unsuccessful because there's not enough unsaved people in the world. We're unsuccessful because we're not enough in love with Jesus Christ. Remember that. And if we can do this in Traver with Christ, what if he decides to change this state of California because we see a revival go on in Hispanic ministries? And they become on fire to kick in the gates of hell. And we get to be part of that. What if? Well, I know what will happen if we don't. We'll just do church for the sake of doing church. And our master's going to come and say, what have you done with what I've given you? And I want to say, have you been to Traver, Lord? I know you have. Have you seen what's gone on in London and Goshen? Big churches and little towns doing huge ministry. That's what we're about. If you turn quickly in your Bible, I want to just show you some things that blow me away. When you consider why we do what we do. You see, open up to the end of Mark. I'm working out of the NASB. If you've got the King James Version, you've got a little extra territory at the end of Mark. And I'd like to explain to you, who has King James Version? You got it in there? You know what I'm talking about. At the end, there's a little bit of extra writing that you have in your King James that some of us don't have. And that's because of the text they use in the King James. And I want to tell you something. That is not extra material. It's just material that already is in there being brought out at the end. Kind of a writer at some point saw the dot, dot, dot. It just seemed like Mark stopped after the resurrection. And then to make it seem more of a church teaching tool, they added in an ending that I love. And I love it because it's not unbiblical. It's just a man trying to help the end of the writing at Mark to seem like it flows. But however, I want to introduce you to the idea that this little gospel was designed to leave you with a heart of evangelism and going. So we're working out of the last chapter in Mark, Mark 16. And I'm going to just read to you out of it, and we'll move on to the rest of the time here. But I want you to get the idea, the certainty of what God would have you do in light of the resurrection. Because remember, I'm asking you as a church to get up and move on Easter Day. And there's a billion reasons why we might not want to do that. Number one is, what if somebody comes to church here and we're not here? Okay, that's a valid thing. Number two is, well, I'm bringing my family, and I'm not sure they want to go to Traver. Hear ya? Number three is, that's just weird to do that. What about the other churches in that town? Aren't you competing against them if you go into there? That's a valid point also. And we'll cover those issues this morning, and we're going to even have a time of question and answer as we work together as a church to be of one heart and one mind. Because when you look at what we're doing, we're not talking about just doing ministry. We're talking about transformed lives. And I've got news for you. It's not just the people in Traver that are going to change. Your life is going to change too. Because when we do this, it's going to give you a taste of something that can only be quenched by the coming of Jesus Christ. And until that time, all you're going to want to do is move ministry outward, because miracles happen. Take a look at this in 16, Mark 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might come and anoint him very early on the first day of the week. They came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. "How do you keep it so white?" I'm sorry, that's what my wife would think. That was the point. There's a young man in a white robe. Now, you might not think much of it, but you have washing machines and dryers and little bouncy balls you can throw in there that make stuff happen and all this stuff. But back in those days, white, there were shades of not white. That's what they dealt with, shades of not white. And to see something white meant it was pure and it hadn't been overcome by the dirtiness of this world, and it stuck out to them. So he's wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And they said to them, and he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified, and he has risen. He's not here. Behold, he is. Here is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They went out and fled from the tomb, for the trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And in parenthesis, now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, and from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. And when they heard it, that he was alive and he had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. And after that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. They went away and reported to the others, but they did not believe them either. And that's at the road where he had invited those two men and had gone in, and they invited him to sit down and have meals with them. And when they broke bread, they recognized him. This is a traveling Jesus. And he's impacting people's lives personally. And they had a hard time believing it because they haven't met the dynamic Jesus. Verse 14, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. That's where it originally stops. What is the appropriate thing to do when God has given you the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life? To go out. That's how it was designed. The last thing you need to know about what Jesus wants you to do when he brings the resurrection and life into you is to go. Isn't that amazing? And it was such a stark thing to stop right there that at some point, a transcriber of the gospel in some other place got a hold of it, and he's like, you know, well, that's kind of stark. Why do we just need to end with go? And so he added something to it. And they promptly reported all these things and instructions to Peter and his companions. And after that, Jesus himself sent out through them from the east to the west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. He writes that in them to let people know, and they did it. They did go. As a church, if we proclaim Jesus Christ resurrected and alive, then you know what our next thing to do is? Go. Go. And for most of us growing in church, you know what we always said? Come. Come to church. Come to Sunday school. Come here. When the Lord's been saying, no, go, 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 go there. Now, some of you might say, well, if that's true, then why have we been doing it wrong for so long? Because we have a consumer mentality about Jesus Christ. What am I getting out of it? Instead of the fact that God has called you to be his going agents in this world. It's an act of faith. It's the walk of faith to go with the message of Jesus Christ resurrected unto all peoples. Now, somebody asked me one time, why don't we do sunrise services? And I'm all for it, but it means the women have to buy into getting up before the men. If you read biblically, it's the women that were at the sunrise service, not the men. And they're going, is he serious? Is he being serious? Because he's like a funny guy, but is he serious? Did you read what it said? Early morning, guess who got up and went to the tomb at sunrise? The women. Why? Because they're passionate for their Jesus. And men, we're just laying in bed. And women go, ain't that the truth? So then, in verse 19, he says, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. You want to know why we have such an apathetic church and why everybody wants to go to do missions everywhere else? It's because we forgot to do missions here. Starting here and working out where from here. We're going to go to Traver, but you know what's going to happen in Traver? It's going to make us want to share the gospel here. Not just in Kingsburg, but here to your friends, to your family members. That's the desire of a resurrected heart, is to go. Go make disciples. And that's why we're talking about Traver and the way we are. There's nothing special about Traver, except as a farmer, I can tell when this place is ready to be planted and grown and to reap a harvest. In Traver right now, we have a school that is stacked with wonderful Christian men and women. I mean, it probably is illegal. I'd hate to get you fired, Steve, but if we were to look into your hiring practices, I guess you're willing to get fired for it. And they couldn't find anybody to take your place, so they're not going to do it. That's kind of a nice visit. I won't quit, and you can't fire me. But when you go there, I got to sit there with my buddy who's a Marine, David, and we got to see one of the most beautiful and simple, patriotic, and God-honoring events that I'd been in a couple years. And I thought to myself, these kids deserve all the things we take for granted. An on-fire church, discipling men and women who look at young kids and can't wait to see what they grow up to become. That they deserve that. Not just from Steve and the teachers, but from Christians who came to this country for the freedom to live their faith. And that's why we're looking at Traver. Step one. Step one. Step one in what? Step one in changing our mission statement. Do you guys know our mission statement? It's on the front of our little handouts. It may even be on your bulletin. What is it? Can somebody find it for me? Yeah, it's at the bottom. What does it say there? We are changing that mission statement today. Well, did you ask the board? No, I didn't. Why? Because I want to put them on the spot. Because they're on the spot with all of us. I would suggest that our new mission statement is this: going, growing, and knowing Christ to the world. Number one, we go. Not number three, number one. Why? Because if you want to grow in Christ, you're going to have to go with Christ. And if you want to know Him, there's only one way to know Jesus: walk with Him. We're going to be a going church, period. That just made me think of a prostate joke, but I won't say it. I'm sorry. I take the holy and then I get all weird and things. And I just like, you know, that sounded like a commercial. Too much TV. We're going to be a going, growing, and knowing church. Why did we take out that one element of our mission statement? Can you tell which word did we take out? Because when you're going, guess what you are doing? Now, you can think you're showing, but if you ain't going, you're not following Jesus. Do you get that? Do you understand what we mean? That if you want to show people Jesus, you're going to have to get up and go. Make disciples. Baptizing them. Baptizo means to fully immerse them. Not just by water. That's a learning tool. That's a physical example. But we mean thoroughly immerse them in the name, the reputation, that's what that means, of the Father. We are going to dunk them in the Father. We're going to completely overflow them with Jesus Christ. And we're not going to squelch the Holy Spirit. We're going to dump it on them. They're going to swim in the work of the Holy Spirit with us together. That's what we mean by baptize. Teaching them all that I taught you, the apostolic teachings. Let us not be afraid of good, sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine lived out soundly changes the world to Jesus Christ. We're not afraid of living our theology. Theology just means God talking. We're going to talk God because we're showing them God. And we're not going to be afraid to be called the body of Christ because we're not the only ones. We're going to be planting body of Christ. We're going to be rejuvenating them. We'll be partnering with others. And yes, we may even challenge others to get up and go themselves. But if we really believe times are short, the days are dark, and the end times are coming, then what in the world are we waiting for? So with that in mind, we're going to be transitioning, because it's one thing to hear me, and you're used to hearing me go off and say things. It's another if you can get a witness. Can I get a witness of people already working? A couple of those slides, there's one on the wall that showed all the volunteers that volunteer caps, TCAPs. How many of you volunteer TCAPs? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Already 8 of us are out there. That's wonderful. How many of you can't wait to go out there and see what God's going to do today? Well, come with us. Well, what about Reedley? We'll get Reedley too. What about Dinuba? We'll get that. I mean, that's what God calls us. We may start just having prayer meetings about where we plant churches. Start throwing maps up on the wall. Start circling places, putting names up there to pray for. Pray for Matt and his cohort out in New London. You're going to meet him. This kid hasn't got a clue. He's getting engaged to get married. And he's going to live in New London? Hi, honey. Can I carry you through the threshold? Well, let me move the broken down car to get you to the house. You know, this guy is sold out for Jesus Christ in that community. And what's the other guy's name? Josh? Josh, too. And this young guy, Josh, hasn't got a church to disciple him to be a leader. Man, that's like meat on a plate for me. I'll take him, Lord. Give him to us. We'll train him up and send him out. So we're going to talk more about this, but what we're not going to talk about is all the reasons we can't do something. We're going to talk about the reasons we do something. Because Jesus Christ said, what? Go make disciples. And disciples are grown in churches. And churches do mission. That's why we do what we do. We're not in competition against any other church in town. We're running the race called for us to run, and we're going to run it to win. There's no losers in this church. Christ has called us to run to win. And we intend to do that. At this point, we're going to bring up our pastor of the warehouse and all things back here. I'd like to have something really cool to call you. He's Paco, you're Schmacko, or you could be Taco. I don't know. We'll figure it out. You're just the bigger, uglier other pastor. But and this is how we love one another here. You got to know
CJ loves us.
You got to know that we are all equally committed to seeing the gospel. There is no place in this church for not being outwardly oriented with our faith. No place. And with that in mind, Dave.
Light us. You don't want to do this?
Oh, it's my breath.
You've been spitting all
over. All right. I'm going to hang out over here and mock you.
Not hard to do.
Go ahead.
All right. Are you sure?
By all means.
All right.
If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We're going to look at an amazing passage here, which as we were praying about this the other day and thinking about our mission to be a going church, how this passage so wonderfully illustrated that fact. In Acts chapter 10, and we're going to start it at verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter is with Cornelius, and they're having this conversation. And Peter, who had been sent by God, by the Holy Spirit, to be this person who proclaims the gospel to the Gentiles, says this. Verse 34, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the message that Peter presented to the Gentiles there with Cornelius. That through faith in Christ, we can have that eternal life, that eternal hope. And then we talk about being a going church. This is the message that we want to proclaim to the people of Traver. That our Lord and Savior, who died for us, who rose again on the third day, that through faith in him, we can have life and have it abundantly.
But if we can get Jake to come up and share with us, Jake, what's going on in your ministry. And I'm going to let you work with Steve when he comes up. And Jake, you're working with a group of guys up there?
Yeah.
And tell us about that strange group of guys and how that ministry, you know, goes beyond just our church, but the other churches in the community.
Yeah, as many of you know, I was a part of a group called the Residency Program through the Kingsburg Community Church last year. It's where I lived, and actually a great time of growing. It's known as the Res House, and you'll hear me talk about it. And one of the things that came from that is going. They've been doing this thing. They started the toy drive last year, and I actually was reluctant to go. I didn't think, you know, it's worth going or anything, but, you know, I got other things to do. And I got really convicted of that. And now this year that I'm not in it, I've been able to, God has been able to use me, I should say, to go and be a part of doing a VBS-type deal with these kids out in Traver, you know. And it's really hard because, you know, I don't like kids at all, so it's really difficult. But just going out there and being among these kids and being an example, a Christian example to these kids, they need it. We've been going out for the past 6 months, and I've been going with the Res guys, and it's been wonderful. My two best friends are kind of leading it up, and it's been great. It's a good time to hang out with them, but also to fellowship with these kids. And we go and play games out at the elementary school, usually capture the flag. That's all they want to play. I mean, they love that game. We try to play something different, and they don't want to have it. And we go back to TCAPS, and we have lunch, and then we do a little Bible story for them. And it usually involves me or somebody else reading, and then all the leaders acting out, just looking ridiculous. It's a lot of fun. The kids laugh, and then they go home. I mean, that's great. That's one thing that we get to do, and it's fun. But, you know, like CJ said, we need a presence there. And that's one of the things I was asked to talk about, is what we need. And most of us, we're all college age, and we've got full-time jobs or school or whatever. We can't be out there 24/7. But the times that we are, it's important that we, you know, witness and be examples. But one of the things that I'm so excited for is that we as the Orchard are going out there and wanting to plant a church or revitalize what's already there. And I have to admit to you guys, I was very afraid and, you know, even I would say prejudiced towards the whole thing about going out there and, you know, thinking, well, you know, I'm better than them. You know, why do they need that? You know, I'm just going to go do my thing. You know, and I've been in the church my whole life. But God really opened my eyes and said, you know what, you're not better. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that includes me. And realizing that they need somebody to love them just as much as we do. You know, it's important, and I hope you guys realize that. And it's not, when I thought about going out there, it's like, oh, I got to go out and be this evangelist and do all this this missions work and all this stuff. I go out there and I play with kids, but they see my face, you know, each month when we go out there, all of us. I go out and play with kids. How hard is that? Go make them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It's just, it's little things like that, the presence of us being out there. But I am excited that the church has decided to move forward and, you know, as uncomfortable as it can be at times, I feel uncomfortable with it every now and then. You know, God's bigger than that, and he's in the business of changing hearts. So with that, you're going to see this in your bulletin next week. It's the CAPS and the Kingsburg Youth. We're going to be going out there into Traver and doing a VBS-type thing again this month. The only thing that's different is because it's Easter time, we're going to be having a community dinner, or lunch, excuse me, on the Sunday, the 25th, which is like the Thanksgiving thing we had, and similar to the Christmas stuff. And I won't go into it. I'll talk about it next week in my announcements. But if you're able to help in any way financially with buying food or wanting to serve and help prepare, come and talk to me. The guy I told you about, Brian, he's on the bottom of here. He'd be the one who's coordinating this. But you can also talk to me, and I can relay messages to him. But I don't be afraid of it. We just need to go, and we need to do this. You know, it's worth it.
Thank you very much.
Come on up, Steve, and why don't you wear this on your tie there, and I'll give this to Steve. You know, when you get people in the church here, we normally just kind of let them hang out for a year because we don't know what they're all about, and we do a background check and make sure they're cool and all those things. As a pastor, when I found out that he is the principal or super? You're the super and principal. He gets paid for both those jobs. to figure out that he was out there, just all of a sudden told me as a pastor, we need to look into what's going on. We have people at CAPS going in there. Then I went and visited on campus, and I could almost name, we had the bishops were there. We have all sorts of families there that we know that are connected to this church. They're from Colony Covenant and just all these neat people. And it just felt like a old home day to see all these people bleeding into these kids' lives. But really, we want to hear, why is it they need an on-fire church in that community?
As some of you may know me, my name is Steve Ramirez. I am the superintendent and principal of Traver Elementary School. I've been blessed to be there for 14 years. I taught my first 9 years, I was a teacher for math, science, 7th and 8th grade. And then 5 years ago, I was promoted up to the superintendent principal position. I just want to kind of talk some of the needs, but before we go back, being there for 14 years, I've seen how God has really been working within that community. 14 years ago when I got there, I grew up in Selma. I know that's, I might get a couple hisses being from Kingsburg. I might get a couple people might support me, but I grew up in Selma, and to be honest, I never heard of Traver in my whole life. I've gone to Goshen, I've gone to Visalia. If you miss Merritt Drive, you miss Traver. It's pretty much one exit, and if you miss it, you're in trouble because you got to go all the way to Goshen to flip around and catch it. But luckily, George Nord, my predecessor, I played baseball with his son out, Kevin Nord, years ago, and that's how I got to know George. He knew I was going through college, and he gave me a call 14 years ago and said, "Hey, I hear you're in liberal studies. You're going to become a teacher. I want you to come out here to Traver." I said, "Oh, sure. Where is this Traver?" So he told me where it's at, and I arrived. And to be honest, when I first arrived, walking, there was no sidewalks. There still is no sidewalks. I was blown away. I was like, "Oh my goodness! There's a school here." And sure enough, you get off the freeway, and you go, and sure enough, there was a school. So I walked around, and I looked around, and it was an old country feel K-8 school, little kids running around, and I fell in love. And I prayed about it. And I said, "Lord, if this is where you want me to be, open up the doors." And sure enough, I interviewed the next day. My wife and I just gotten married. We're living in Fresno, and we were both going to college. And I interviewed. And I remember I drove from Fresno to Traver, interviewed. And I remember praying, "Lord, if you truly want me here, you know, give me a sign or let me know." Because, you know, I had other interviews lined up, and this was the first one I went to, and, you know, usually they say don't take the first thing that comes your way or whatever, but I drove. By the time I got back to my apartment, 30 minutes later, there was a message from George Nord saying, "Call me, we want to talk." I was like, that's kind of awkward. I don't think I said anything too weird during that interview, but I called him back, and he just says, "We want you to come to Traver." And he's all, "You know, school year is going to be starting soon, and, you know, we'd like for you to think about it and let us know as soon as possible." So my wife and I prayed about it. And long story short, I took the position, and that's one of the best moves I've ever made in my life because I've seen such a huge transition in the last 14 years, what God is doing, especially the last 5 to 6 years. As moved into administration, when you're in the classroom, you got your own little world. You kind of manage your class, and it's kind of fixated on that. And you're kind of the king of the jungle in the classroom, and you make sure you manage it. But being the superintendent principal is a totally different position because Traver does not have a council. It does not have any representatives. It is just one little community that really relies on the school. And little did I know when I took the position, actually I was warned that the superintendent is pretty much acts as the mayor and handles a lot of issues. And I'm not joking, it is, but you know what? And I gladly accept that. And God has really been, especially the past 5 years, it's amazing how he's brought so many different people. And to be honest, I never, if you would ask me a couple years, I'd be standing here going to a Kingsburg church. Not that there's nothing, everything wrong. I grew up in a Calvary Chapel all my life in Fresno, all my life. And I lived in Kingsburg the last 14 years or 12 years prior. But God was tugging on my heart and my wife, and we kept praying about it. And I'll be honest, my flesh was like, nah, I'm happy. We're established. But you know what? 2 years ago, and thank God for women, my wife said, we are going to go. You know, the Jost, you know, Tiffany and Mike, that's Krista's cousin, said, they kept saying good things, come visit. And reluctantly, I said, all right, I'll go visit. But I love my church. And we came. And it took one service. And we said, you know what? The Lord is talking to us. This is where we need to be. And now I'm kind of seeing, it's amazing how God has so many things planned, because little did I know, 2 years ago, Traver, I didn't hear any Traver talk or anything like that. It's amazing how I truly believe in my heart God brought my family here for a reason now, as we're looking to branch out into Traver. And but the last 5 years, God has really opened the door. We have Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. Young Life is huge in Traver. Johnny I'm blanking on his other name, Richard, are active in our school, and they're mentoring our 7th and 8th graders. Richard goes to every Traver function, every basketball game. I've gotten to know that man very well, and they're both very good hearts. Ida Rushing, a former alumni of Traver, and one of the, I know she was probably getting in people's ear about caps, venturing into TCAPs. She's very involved, and she's become a very dear friend of mine. So all these things have happened. We have Food Link, which is a nonprofit organization that gives out food, is made Traver as one of their main hubs where food goes out every Friday. All these things are happening. And a lot of my staff is Christian. You're absolutely right. It's a large majority. We pray over that school. We pray for our students because we know God is making a difference. But I have one luxury that many of you don't. I get to see the tail end of all the sacrifices and all the giving that you and other churches give. I get to see the tail end. I get to talk to my parents. I get to see the appreciative faces and just the need that's are met. They come to me, they thank me, and I usually tell them it's not me. It's so I get to see what all of your donations and what your time are doing or what they mean to people. I see the end product, and it is huge. My community, you know, there are biases. I'm not afraid to go. I love Traver School. There's a lot of hardworking people who love their families. They do not have the means that you and I have. You know, I can go home and I don't have to worry about having food for my family or paying my bills for the most part. I can get them, I'm going to get them done. But for them, they have those needs. But you know what? You think of drugs and gangs. There are drugs in Traver. But flash alert, there's drugs in Kingsburg. Hope you understand that as well. I hope you don't think they're just flowing out of Traver. They're in Kingsburg. They're prevalent everywhere. Do we have gangs? Yeah, we do. In Kingsburg, they are. I'm in the education world. I talked to the superintendent. We're good friends here. And it's all around us. But you know what? We can't let any Satan have victory. We're going to fight. And you're right. Our backyard is Kingsburg here. But I love hearing that we're going to move our fence a little further back and make our backyard a little further and get into Traver, because they do come into Kingsburg. And I thank the good Lord every day that my 8th graders come to Traver, to Kingsburg, because I know they're going to be taken care of. I know this community. I know a lot of people at the high school. They have good hearts. And that's what I'm seeing. And so what I hope, or what I'm hoping, you know, what I'm hearing and what I'm encouraged about and what are some of the needs of Traver is just people and time. And, you know, it's good to see. We have some good churches. TCAPS is a huge blessing. But also, there is a good little Mennonite church there. And good Pastor Juan Pacheco. And he has a heart to do a lot. He has credibility within that community. And as I think of ways we can serve is just providing him resources, providing TCAPS resources. Because they have credibility. People know. They trust them. And I think if they had more resources, they could even touch that community even more. So I'm very pleased. I'm excited to see what the Orchard, what my church is going to do, what other churches in Kingsburg are going to do, and what our God is going to do. I'm very encouraged. So God bless all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you guys, hear Steve say that he mentioned a fence? And really, we all have a fence in the sense of this is my area, this is our boundaries, this is where I go. And to be honest with you, when he said,
I'm just so glad to hear that your fence is now extending beyond to Traver and encompassing Traver. We have no right, you and I have no right, to determine where that fence lies. God does. He does. And to be honest with you, there is no fence. There really isn't a fence. We're the ones that put the fence up. We're the one that put the friendship fence from here to here now. We can't even see our neighbors because sometimes we don't want to. But God takes care of the fences, but probably the strongest fence is right here. We build it right here, and it's made out of cement sometimes. Ask God if there's any reason, if there's anything there that's hindering you. It might be fear, whatever it is, doubt. But we've always done things, that's a huge fence. God wants to bring that fence down. Take care of it so that we can begin to do a work in a way this church has never done before and begin to find our roots where they once were, and that is planting churches and reaching lives, even if they have a different skin color, even if they speak a different language. That never stopped God, and it will never stop God to do that.
I'd like to call the ushers, or not the ushers, but the elders, and those are going to help us do communion forward, please. And as we do communion this morning and we pray, I want you to pray about where God would physically use you in the life of others as the bread goes around, as the cup goes around. And we'll take the bread together, and then we'll take the cup together. And I want you to just really at this point know we're not just merely doing tradition. We're seeking God's overarching will in our lives, empowerment, and humility to be courageous in some other place. So as you take this, I want you to pray about it because, frankly, not all of us can do ministry in Traver all at one time. But just getting a taste of what can happen in Traver, I hope you take that back to your neighborhood, back to your classroom, to your workplace, to your family, and know that God blows away boundaries when he uses the church. Amen? See, that's what it was all about. They were in the upper room. They were celebrating the Sabbath, but this one was different. All the Sabbaths prior had celebrated a yearly need to become clean as a nation in front of God again. Not that he hadn't exercised forgiveness to them, but they had put roadblocks in sin between obeying God and knowing him deeply. And every year God made that ritual to which they could acknowledge God forgives and unites. And the Sabbath was the desire of God to put spill blood to forgive sin. The picture of coming out of Egypt. And then when they're in the wilderness, supplying them with every need, the bread, the manna, all those things were tied into it. But in Jesus Christ, he gave it a new twist. He said in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul reports, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." And while we consume this bread, what we're saying is we want to be nourished in the very life and reputation of Jesus Christ. So as you receive this bread and they hand it out, I want you to take a moment to pray about how God wants to personally use you on Easter Day, whether you're in Traver with us or you're in Cayucas or wherever you go, knowing that the call of the orchard is to live the will of the Father out for other people's sake. That in so doing, you have the opportunity to worship and be aligned not only by yourself, but with other Christians. As this is a picture of Christ's body doing the will of God perfectly on earth, may this be also a picture of our unity in one will, one gospel, in the Father, that we live our faith honestly amongst others, not only as a memorial, but as a celebration of the life of Christ in us. Take and eat. And just as without the spilling of blood, there is no remission for sin, the uniqueness of Christ is that this is the once and for all sacrifice and spilling of His blood, being the righteousness of God on earth to us. As you receive this, I want you to think sacrificially. Think about why God has put you on earth for other people's sake, as you drink deeply of the sacrifice that binds us deeper than any blood, any kin. We are united in God. So take some time and pray for that. And as they come forward and we continue this time of worship, would you please rise with us? Can you imagine doing God's will with the end in sight from the very beginning? And that's what God did. From the garden, He knew there was a time and point in all history, the focal point of all history, where it would be His Son paying the price for the sin that has corrupted the whole world. And from that point, we have been given the pleasure as the church to live out the victory of Jesus Christ, a sacrifice of His holiness on behalf of those who could not pay the price in their own righteousness, those who would believe in Jesus Christ. And this isn't just a celebration of death. It's a celebration of life because He made a promise. I'm coming back and I will take this cup up with you again. And we will celebrate with our Lord Jesus, the Lamb that was slain, the Lion of Judah. Take and drink. For those of you who want to have a question and answer time with us about what's going on, we ask that you could spend some time with us here. We have your children. They're driving people nuts. So you need to go get your kids. But it's a beautiful day. If they want to run around and play, let them play. But we're going to have a time of question and answer. So if you want to be back here in about 5 minutes, go get your refreshments. Come on back. And we're going to handle some issues if you want to talk about those. If you trust us, then go home and write big checks, because we're going to cash them in Jesus' name in Traver. May God bless you guys.